lost that desire. I always want more. And anytime anybody want prayer, I'd be up there. It didn't happen overnight, but hallelujah. Yes, please, please, if you got a microphone.
Thank you. My testimony is this. We've been watching some videos of Catherine Coleman, and she's talking about healings, and she talks about, you know, somebody in the foot with arthritis and all that, and, you know, I've been having pain on my foot, and I couldn't walk, and I was limping. So that day I was walking. Then she said, get on your toes and walk. I got on my toes, and I was in so much pain. And I kept on trying, but I was in so much pain. And I said, I'm not going to do this. So I went to the doctor to find out what was going on. And they told me that I have arthritis really bad on my toe. And I've been in pain. They gave me a 500 milligram painkiller, which I was taking. But I kept on telling God, God, you said that you're the healer. And I truly want to stand in faith and believe him as my healer. And I kept on praying. I was in pain and continued the pain, and people used to ask me, how you doing? I said, I am healed. No matter how I feel, no matter what how it looks like, I am healed. So today, coming here, and Pastor was talking about having an encounter to God, and it's been my prayer. I want to have an encounter with him. So I laid there, and the Lord told me, your healing is completed. And I said, okay, because I'm praying for also the diabetes and also the foot. So I got up. And I sat here and I said, Lord, he said, get on your toes. So I got on my toes and I'm no pain. I'm not limping. I'm walking. So I thank Jesus that he completed my healing.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Everything with God is purpose. Timing is purpose. God does things for purpose. I mean, there's reasons for everything. And it always amazes me that God has chosen us to show his glory. Hallelujah. God has chosen us to reveal to the world that he is God. Think about that. All the people in the world he could have chose, he chose this group of people.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Did he choose others? Of course he did. Praise God. But he chose us. Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. Let's bow our head for a moment in prayer and just ask God's blessing. Father, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory. We thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Sometimes, Father, we pray and we just pray words because we have to pray something. But what we want you to know, Father, is we want to pray your words. We want to know you, Lord. We want to make you known throughout the land. We thank you, Father. You placed us here in the midst of Nassau, a village out in the middle of nowhere, so that we can be a light to those in darkness. So, Father, we come into agreement right now that you're about to touch the heart of Nassau. You ready for this? He said, you are the heart of Nassau. Amen. You understand? You bring the very heart of God to Nassau. Amen. The love, the compassion, the mercy, the forgiveness. Not the judgments, not the condemnations, but the love.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father, that you lead and guide us.
Yes.
As I began this, I started it one way, and then God took me into this message. And so I'm believing this is what God has for us. And the message is called How to Stay Connected to God. And I started out, and I was going to bring you the message at the beginning of it, was all the reasons why in these last days what God said is going to happen in the church, not in the world, but in the church itself. And he gave us warnings. And he told us, get ready. And as I prepared it, God, I believe the Lord spoke to me and said, Dave, you need to first make them understand why they want to stay connected. See, there's so many of us today who all they think about is, if I come into church, I'll be fine. And like Moses, when he went up on the mountain, he was up on the mountain. The people are down below. You don't want that experience. You want to be on the mountain.
Amen.
If other people want to stand below, that's fine. They can. But you need to know that you want to be on the mountain where God is. Amen. 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 You, listen, you need to hear from the Master yourself. I may bring something and it may be a confirmation. It may be something where you, okay, well, I never realized that. Or, oh man, something opened. I was praying this morning and I was going through some of the things. I've been working on this for the last week and I've been going through some of these things and how to stay connected. And this, I might have heard this before. I don't know. I don't know where I heard it from. But all of a sudden, one of the things God says to stay connected to Him is to praise Him. Amen. Amen? Now, this is what He told me. And you might have heard this before, so you know it already. I didn't. I got excited about it. He said, you should praise Him for what He's done, but you should worship Him for who He is. Was that awesome?
Amen.
I never heard that before. I said, wow. See, when you get into that place and you're hungry and you want to hear from God and God wants to instruct you and teach you, listen, I don't care how much teaching you get out of the pulpit or you get teachings from radio or TV or whatever it is, all fine teaching. But it has nothing to do with you until you've got it. When one word comes from God and speaks to you, it's yours. That's what you need. You need a word from God. You don't need a word from man. I want you to get to a place. I don't want you to ever get to a place where you think you don't need the body of Christ. Don't ever go there. Don't ever get to a place where you think you know more than other people. Don't go there. Because any knowledge you've got came from God.
Amen.
Didn't come from you. Amen. If it came from you, you would have been God. Amen. So understand that also in this process of we're going to get to know who He is and we're going to stay connected to Him, and that is the power source for all things on this earth. Whether you believe it or not, God is in control.
Amen.
You understand that. The devil can't do anything except God allows him to do it.
That's right. That's right.
Wait a minute. He's the God of this earth. Yes, He is. But God is God. For those who think the devil is bigger than God, I got to inform you. If he was bigger, he'd be sitting on the throne in heaven instead of being kicked out.
Amen?
Amen? So we got a big God. Amen? We got a big. That's what I said to you at the beginning of this thing. I could speak to you for 1,000 lifetimes and never come to all that He is. I could have all the wisdom of all the men of this world and still not fully comprehend who He is. I can give you the best messages in the whole world and never get you into the presence of God like He can bring you into that presence. A big God. And the big God. So what I'm giving you is such a small amount of who He is and what He's got for you that I'm ashamed sometimes to bring it because it's just a small. I mean, it's the smallest minnow in the ocean is what I'm bringing you. It's still God's word, which makes it great. But there's so much more to God than what I can even conceive of in my own mind, in my own heart. And only what I believe that God, okay, God, and I started putting it together. This first part here, I put together real quick this morning. Because God told me, He said, David, unless they know a reason to stay connected to me, they won't stay connected. If you don't have a reason to go to Walmart, you won't. Unless you're nuts. Amen? If you go down there just to walk around, I don't know what to tell you. Praise God. You understand? Don't go to church just because it's Sunday morning. You come to church because you're bringing what God has given to you all during the week and bringing it to church. Maybe this week you needed to come to church so that you can get something from God.
Amen.
But there's one of two reasons to be in church. One, to give. The other is to get. Not just to sit. That's not God's way. God did not create the church for us to have something to do on Sunday because we don't like bowling. Amen? Really? And sometimes we don't think that way. The God of the universe sent his son in the form of man in the flesh. And Jesus said, listen, you are my body. You are my children. You're my brothers and sisters. You're joint heirs with me in my heavenly Father's kingdom. Amen. So if God is great, and Jesus, who is God, is great, and they're both in you, and the Holy Spirit, who's great, and done great things, all three of them are in you. Amen. That means you can do great things. Amen. Not in yourself, but in Christ, you can do great things. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Here's the thing. Here's what bothered me this morning. Because I really felt God wanted to do something like what we did. And all the way through this thing, I'm fighting. I said, Lord, I just remember all the things I've done wrong. I think of this, and I'm thinking of that. And I'm going, Lord, you can't use me because of this and because of that. And there was a great battle going on. Till it was almost to the point I wasn't even going to do this. Because I said to myself, I'm not good enough. I can't do this, Lord, unless you do it through me. Yeah, that's fine, but I can't do it. And there's a great warfare that goes on. Because the enemy doesn't want you to be used by God. Amen. He will destroy you with lies and deceptions. Truth, I'm not worthy. Truth, I'm not good enough. Truth, I messed up many times this week. But there's a greater truth. When I confess my sins, he was faithful and just to forgive me. Amen. When I prayed the prayer that said, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe I am washed in the blood. We sang the songs this morning. Now I am cleansed of all unrighteousness through the shed blood of my Lamb. Now I am a vessel that can be used by God for the Holy Spirit to flow out of and into situations. Into situations. It's not me. But it is the Christ in me. It's the Christ in you. That God wants you to understand. You are not called down here. Look, we get caught up in all kinds of different teachings and this and that. I was reading an article and they're saying, well, you know, these teachings are wrong and these teachings are wrong and these teachers are wrong. I'm sick and tired of the wrong. I want to hear the right. Somebody might focus in on this area of teachings. That's fine. Praise God. Maybe God called them into that. He's not my servant. Amen. Amen? You've been called into great things. I mean, seriously, to do great things. Period. Because you have a great God. Not because you're worthy, not because you're smart enough. Remember what he said to the nation of Israel? I didn't call you because you were the biggest, the best, or anything else. He said, I took the weak things of the world to confound the wise. This great God chose us. And the rest of the world will look at you and say, ah, I don't have to listen to you. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Let me see the education you've got. Show me your diploma. Show me all this stuff. Why should I believe you? Why should I listen to you? I tell them this. You don't have to. You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to believe anything I got to say. I'm not here because you chose me to be here. I'm here because God sent me here. And I come into a place. I was with a young man this week. Talking to him. He said, well, I'd like to go to church, but I don't have the clothes. I said, you don't. What you're wearing is fine. He had dirty old rotten clothes on. I said, what you're wearing is fine. Amen. You don't have to come dressed up. I said, if I could, I'd wear a pair of shorts and a shirt. But I got somebody else in my wife. I mean, somebody else that I got to. You understand? It's not about that.
That's right.
God is so big. He's bigger than all the mess out here. Amen? So anyways. So the first thing he said to me, David, give them reasons why they should stay in contact with me. Listen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can use all kinds of analogies with that. You know, you go to a doctor, the doctor says, this is why you stay in contact with me. Right? Guess what? We got a notice in the mail the other day, a couple weeks ago, from a bank account we had in a bank that we didn't use. We had to set it up. It's a small thing, nothing large. Had to set it up because we wanted to get our mortgage through this place. They sent us notice. It says, you haven't used this in a while, and if you don't use it, somebody's going to take it from you. Really? Do you know that? If you've got a bank account and it sits there long enough, government will walk in and take it from you. Happened to you twice? That's what happened. But let me put it this way. If you don't use what God has given you, somebody will come and take it from you. His name is the devil. Well, how can he steal it from me? What did the word say? Unless you have understanding, he can come and steal the seed of the word right out of your heart. He can do that. Oh, you give him too much credit. I'm saying this. Unless you use what God has done in your life and used what God has given you, it sooner or later it'll just become nothing. It'll be like an old rusted wheel that's sitting out in the back of your yard. I got an old hay rake that sits out in the back of the yard. We keep it in the corner and covered in bushes because it's old and rusted out and nobody wants to use it. Don't let that happen to you. Keep connected to God. Let him keep working in your life. Do you start seeing yourself slip? Your zeal, your passion, your hunger, your love. When you look at others and see them hurting, do you hurt? Do you weep when they weep? Do you rejoice when they rejoice, or you become jealous? Understand, God has done such great things in your life that if we don't keep them fresh, they'll start to slip away from us. And that's what he warns us about in the scripture. So I'm not just saying that out of my own hat. I'm telling you out of scripture, and I'll show it to you. But let me do this real quick. Give me 10 minutes, and we'll do this. I'm never going to get done in 10 minutes. All right, listen to this. Let me give you a couple of things, okay? I just wrote on top, God is our Savior and Redeemer. We all know. Anybody here not saved? Everybody been saved, right? You all know what saved means. Okay, I'll take your word for it. Look at 1 Timothy 1:15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Paul writing to Timothy. Look at 1 Peter 1:18, 21. 1 verse 18 through 21. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. Glory to God. You've been redeemed. That's why you want to stay connected to one who redeemed you, your Savior. All right? Here's another thing. God is our helper and strength. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 46:1. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Deuteronomy 31:6, be determined and confident. Do not be afraid of them. Your God, the Lord himself, will be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. That is awesome. You know Jeremiah 29:11. And I encourage you to go past the 29 to, from 11 to 12 and 13 and 14. Read those in there. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I have these plans for you. God has plans for your life. Amen?
Amen?
The choice we make is whether it's his plans or our plans.
Right.
That's all the choice we have. Because the devil, he don't get his part in here. Amen? His plans were you to go to hell. They didn't work out that way.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Jesus came and said, enough. I got better plans for you. Look what he says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Man, if we ever get a hold of that. I mean, seriously, if we just. Wow. If my God, and that's what I'm saying to you. How great is your God? We sang this song. How great is your God? Is your God greater than all the circumstances of life around you?
Amen.
Well, I'm only a ditch digger. Praise God. Guess what? God can prosper you where you're digging a ditch.
Amen.
You understand that? It's not about the education. Again, this is the fallacy. This is the fear and all the junk that comes along. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. No, you don't. God said, I'll do it. You just do what I tell you to do and watch what I'll do. Amen. Matthew 7:24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. You want wise and wisdom. I've got to laugh. You ever watch all these? I get so sick and tired of news. I don't know. You ever get somebody will get to a point where you keep hitting your head with a hammer and you figure out, maybe I shouldn't do that anymore. Watching news is that way. I'm getting to a point, I turn it on, I listen to them, and I'm getting so sick and tired. Father, forgive me. Don't let me say it. But they think they're so wise. They think because they sit on a boob tube and spout all this information that's usually all lies anyways, and they're all colored by their own ideas, what this is and what that is, they can have truth sitting right in front of them, and it could be a neon sign that said, this is the truth. And they still can't see it. And I sit there and say, why do I infect myself with this junk? I do. And so sometime later on, I'll turn it off, and then I'll go back and turn it on. And I get there. God, you know what I say to it? I sit there and watch it, and I say, what am I doing? There's no life in this. There's no life in this. There's nothing there that prospers me, that brings any good to me. It's lies. Even a stupid... No, never mind. I'm not going to go there. I got to stop. Okay, let's go on. Okay, so what did I say so far? I said he's our Savior, Redeemer, our Helper, and Strength. And I said he's our Healer. Psalm 103, 2 through 3. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives me of all my iniquities and heals me of all my diseases. Praise God. He said in Exodus 15:26, he said, I am the God of the Israelites. I am the Lord who heals you. Do you know you're engrafted into the vine, right?
Yes.
I was talking to someone the other day. They didn't understand it. Of course, they're not saved. I didn't expect them to. But I'm Jewish. Amen? Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm Jewish. Yep. But I don't have to follow all the traditions and all the ceremonies. Because he said a true Jew is one who's circumcised inwardly, not outwardly. Amen? Amen? Okay, so he's my healer. Why do I stay with him? Because he's the one that's keeping me alive so far. All right. He supplies all your needs. Philippians 4:19. Is that right? Okay. Oh, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I don't know why all of a sudden he got 13. I don't know what 13 popped up. In 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness... Praise God. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to supply all your needs here, and I'm going to supply all your spiritual needs to stay strong against all temptation and deception. Amen? One more I put that. Like I said, there's so much I could put here, and there's probably a million you're thinking of right now, and that's fine. I just wanted to get something across, say, you know, now I know why I always stopped with stay with him. He said, he's your comforter. Oh, my goodness. Anybody need comfort in these days? I guess so. Listen to what he says. 2 Corinthians 1:3-5 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means blessed be his holy name. Blessed God. The Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. In other words, he is our comforter. When we're going through it, when the mess is going on or all around us, we don't have to be afraid. And we will find a peace that passes understanding. And he will say, and this is what, and I told you this before, and I said it earlier, one word from God changes everything. One word, that's all it takes. And I shared this with you before. When Chris had passed away, our son, he went home to be with the Lord. For 6 weeks, I went from work to the graveside. into home. 6 weeks, every night. Every night. And every time I'd pull up there, I'd start crying. One night, I'm driving up there, same thing. And the word of God came. I mean, as clear as a bell. He said, let him go. He's with me. He's fine. He's all right. He said, he's all right. That was the last time I visited that gravesite. That was the last time I cried. One word from him changed everything.
Amen.
One word. How do you get that word? Stay connected. How do we stay connected? I'm going to bring that to you later on. Amen. We'll do that next week. Praise by the grace of God. We'll stay connected. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.